Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you. How great is our God. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Just your majesty, the love you've shown us. God, we just give you honor and praise. Lord, I just pray you'd open up the word to us this morning that we'd have a good insight of what you have to tell us, what you're speaking to us. Lord, I pray each heart would open to be able to receive from the Spirit. And I pray, Lord, just from the Spirit, you'd work within me to speak words of your Spirit, Lord. So we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. Be our teacher this morning, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Let's start off there. Galatians 1. Paul, an apostle, not for men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. As we are getting ready for, 2018 and, just praying about, what we should be looking at, the Lord just kept bringing up to me this book of Galatians, and I've taught through it before, studied it. I really love this book because it's a condensed view and of just the Christian life, of the church, the Christian life, the whole thing. I mean, it's just a condensed view of it. More than any book in the Scripture, it covers the whole thing, and it's just in a condensed, powerful way. An expanded view of this, you want to look at the book of Romans, all right? So I guess the Apostle Paul had more time on his hands, so he wrote 16 chapters. So we'll look at the 6 chapters here, but it's really a powerful section. And I think one of the things that the Lord was stirring in my heart to look at this book and to go over it again is because of a lot of the things I think that had to do with me, that as you get older, if you notice, you read something, you study in the Scripture, and you feel like the authority, you teach everybody about it, and then you get about 10 years older and you think you didn't know anything about what you just taught, so you do it again and you teach it with a lot of authority, and then you get 10 years older, some of you that can get that older, and you think, oh my God, I didn't know anything the past 2 times I taught on this, and so you teach it again, and the Lord continually to reveal things to us. And so that's what I feel about the book of Galatians. Now, I've taught on it a lot, but I just feel like the Lord has done a lot of crossing the T's and dotting the I's in my life and the things I understand. And so looking at it a little bit, I don't want to say new, more in depth. I don't even want to say in depth, because I'm sure in 10 years from now, the Lord should tarry, I'll think, man, I didn't know what I was talking about now. So anyway, here's a shot. But I want to look at the book of Galatians, and we're going to go through that, spend the next several weeks, and see what the Lord has to say. And it's for us today. It's for the church today and what he's doing. It's very applicable. And it starts off here, and I think it's important for us to understand. And talking about our kingdom life. And when I say kingdom life, I mean our life with Christ, that we live with Christ. So our kingdom life, just like the Apostle Paul, is not from men nor through men. It's not. Your kingdom life is not something you go and have another man tell you or a woman tell you. The kingdom life is what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Teaches you through the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom life. That's when the things get tough and everybody's falling by the wayside and you keep going. It's because your personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. You hold on to that because it's real to you. It's not of man. It's of Christ. And it's from your encounter with Christ. And that's the truth of it. And this is what you have the Apostle Paul saying. The Apostle Paul saying is that I'm an apostle. Not from men, okay, or through man. It's not, I didn't think this was a good idea. God told me. I always think about Paul's call and when God was saying Ananias to go lay hands on him so he could see. And he says, go tell Paul how much he must suffer for me. I said, what a call, Love that, don't you? It's like, no, it better be from God and not from man. If he's going to give me the message, I want to show him how much he must suffer for me. All right? So it's got to be real. It's got to be real. And that's what the kingdom life is. And this is what we get right off the bat from the Apostle Paul. He is telling us this. This message is not from men, It is, or through man. It's from God. It's from the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, let's just briefly, we're going to read Paul's call, okay? This is how Paul was called into the ministry. This is how he was called into the kingdom, his kingdom life. And I have an overhead here, but I'll read you the verse here in Acts 9, verses 1 through 6. It says this, But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, and he asked him for letters to the synagogue at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Just a little footnote here. Was he persecuting Jesus? He's persecuting the church, which is like persecuting Jesus. Anybody touch God's believers, they're persecuting Jesus. So we're in an exalted position. Just let that know. He says, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." Met with him. He said, "Go into the city, and you will be told what you are to do. Not by man, but through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit." Now, Paul's encounter with Jesus shaped his entire life. This shows to the extent to which God will reach down and touch his people. He wants to change their entire life, and he's going to be proactive to reach down and touch his people. God is still working today, just like he did with the Apostle Paul. Therefore, okay, our call, our message should be without any human explanation. Our call and our message is not because we're the smartest person on the block. Okay? Our call and our message is because we met with Christ. That gives it power. Okay? Makes it penetrate. And so we need to understand that this is the message that God gives, and that he requires, and to have that message of the kingdom, it requires a meeting with Christ. Now, I want to give just a brief little personal testimony, and the only reason I'm giving it is just to drive home the point. The only point I'm trying to drive home here is God hadn't changed. I did this with the Apostle Paul. Never doing it again. Never happening again. Just kind of, that's what I did one time to call Paul. No, he's doing it all the time. He's doing it all the time with people. In fact, when anybody comes to know Christ, he has done it in one way or the other. The person hasn't had an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it changed them. If they don't have an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't change them. All right? My personal testimony is not knowing anything about Christ, not knowing anything about the church, not having been to the church, so it was just a complete void in my life, a complete void. And then an event of circumstances that was just horrendous for Linda and I, and just there was no way out. It was just incredible without going into all the details. And being 21 years old, falling on the sand in the desert, literal desert, spiritual desert, but the literal desert in Palm Springs, California, and saying, "God, help," you know. And it definitely was a foxhole prayer. I mean, it was just the generic, "God, I can't, everything's falling apart." Didn't know what to, "God, help." What happened with that prayer? God answered it immediately, almost within a week's period of time. Pulled me out of that situation. As he pulled me out of the situation, it changed. And I was so stunned by the change, I thought, "I don't know how this happened. I don't know how that change happened." And I remember the first night we were in a the new place where we live in, the new apartment, which I couldn't believe we had. And if you, for logistics, it was in San Bernardino, California. But the first night I laid in bed there and I looked up the ceiling and I'm just staring. I said, what happened? How did I get out of that? And how did I get in this situation? How did that happen? And I remember thinking, the only thing different in my life, the only thing different in my life is I cried out, God help me. That's the only thing I did different. And I thought, if you can ask God to help you and he helps you, I want to know who God is. And so it took me on a journey. I wanted to know. I didn't know where to look. So, you know, being the spiritual giant I was, I went to the library, you know. But anyway, and just to make it this short, but I pulled out a book, and it said the archaeological history of the Jewish and Christian faith. I thought, well, okay, so I read it. I mean, you're looking for God. I don't know. Where do you look? You don't go to church. In fact, I knew not to go to church because I knew God wasn't in the church. I was convinced God wasn't in church. There was no association because of past experiences. So I read that book, the whole thing about the archaeological history of the Jewish and Christian faith. And it was good. It's a good, now I know it was good. It was just a book then. But as I read it, because it would continually reference the Bible. It would always reference the Bible. And so I asked Linda, I said, you have a Bible? She said, yeah, I think I have somewhere. And so she goes out, pulls out this box. She pulls out these old letter sweaters and, you know, high school yearbooks and stuff. She pulls out this little red Bible, which I still have right there. Not any notes or anything, just a Bible. And so this book on the history of the Christian faith, the archaeological history, convinced me that the God was in the Bible. And so, and this is a true story. I'm not making this up. You couldn't make this up. You just couldn't. And so I thought, okay, God is in the Bible, so I'm going to find him in the Bible. So I just wanted to read. So I start in Genesis. How you read a book? You start in Genesis. You go through the whole thing. So I read the Bible. As an unsaved person, I read the Bible. And I didn't skip a word because I might miss it, what God was. So I just continued. I read every word. I went through all the genealogies, the begats, the begottens. I went through all the sacrificial laws and systems, you know. I read through all of that. Went through the entire Bible. Now, here's what happened. And this is a benefit of not knowing anything. If you want to know if there's any benefit of not knowing anything, here's one benefit of not knowing anything about the church or Christ or God. As I read through the Bible from Genesis through, my first experience with God and Christ was the Bible. I didn't have an outside source. It's just the Bible. So it's what, as I read that, and so I gained an understanding. So what happened? I finished the Old Testament, and it's like I had a history of the Christian faith. I didn't know I had a history of the Christian faith, but I finished it, and so I had a foundation, an Old Testament foundation, as I went in to the New Testament. And as I went into the New Testament, the four Gospels, you had this whole presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's like, okay, this all just flows. The Old Testament, now you got Jesus Christ, you know, and what he did, you know, and the experience he had. And so I knew about Jesus. Then I go into the book of Acts. And the book of Acts tells you about the whole church. And so, man, I've got, you know, this is my first experience with Christianity. So I have this foundation, the Old Testament. I have the Gospels about Jesus. I move in Acts. And it talks about how the church spread. So I had all that information. Then I went into the book of Romans, which is a systematic theology of the Christian faith. And I started reading in that. Now, Martin Luther got saved in chapter 1. Just want to let you know. All right. I got saved in chapter 3. Okay, he had a little more on me. Okay, he got saved in chapter 1. I got saved in chapter 3. But I went into chapter 3, and I remember reading through this and going, and it had the most interesting thing. It says in chapter 3, 21, 22, 23, it says, for all had sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That was good. Me and Jesus, the Bible, we're on the same page. All of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. And it says, but God gave Jesus, in this Bible, Revised Standard Version, it says, but God gave Jesus as an expiation through his blood. And I thought, what is an expiation? I never heard, none of the guys I hung out with ever used that word, expiation. Nobody. Never heard the word. So I look it up. And it's a great word. It means like atonement. What's atonement? I don't know what atonement is. Well, if you use both of them together, it means like propitiation. See, it's like there's no way to find out what this word means. You can't find out what this word means. It's like, and so I'm hung, but God just gave Jesus is that. It just gave Jesus is that. And so I couldn't skip it. You know how you read a book and you just skip over words you don't understand. But it focused on all this, and I couldn't give Jesus wasn't expiation, Jesus wasn't atonement, Jesus was a propitiation. I didn't know what it meant. And really cool words when you look at them. And so I look up the definitions of the words that they're given to definition. You look up a definition to give you a definition that you don't understand the definition. Then you have to look up another definition of that. Anyway, that's what I did. But it really great because that word means, the little word means, is that you pay the penalty for one's debt and turn away the wrath of God. It has the whole meaning in that one word. It's a powerful word. Pay one's debt and you turn away the wrath of God. And so I'm like, God gave Jesus to pay the penalty and turn away the wrath of God. And I'm going, what does that mean? I remember going, it's like Jesus, and I remember as clear as it's like Jesus is my substitute. And I go, I'm forgiven. Pass from death to life. Message, not through man. Message through God. It's a message through God. And you know what? To this day, there hasn't been a man that can talk me out of that message. Because Jesus told me the message. See? Now, we could go off on that, but we'll just, for another day. But this is what, it's the same as the Apostle Paul. It's no different. It's the same as your experience. They're no different. Somehow, with the truth, you experience the reality of God. And it was from Jesus, and it's yours. If some person convinces you, some person can convince you of something else. See? No, it's from God. And that's the reason you have Christians stand strong no matter what. Because it's a message from Christ. Now, so you have here, what we're making application. This is the way of God, not a unique thing that happened 2,000 years ago. No, this is the way God works. This is the way he works. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. We'll go on to Galatians 1, 11 through 12. And it says this. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. A revelation. And that's how you receive the gospel of God. It's through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Not by man. It's through a revelation. Now, what is the revelation of Jesus Christ today? What is the revelation? How do we know we've received a revelation of Jesus Christ? And not man. Okay, a lot of people come up, I got a revelation from God. And you listen to it and say, I don't think so. You know, yeah, I've got a word from you. I said, no, you keep that word. You know, I know. See, because how do we know it is from God? How do we know we have a revelation from God? Well, how do we know it's the absolute truth? And by the way, if it comes from God, it is the absolute truth. Well, 2 Timothy 3:16 says that Scripture is God-breathed. It's revelation. Their very breath of God. That's what revelation is, the very breath of God. Look at John 5:39. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus is talking to the religious folks. Okay? So he's talking to the church people. He says this, you study the Scriptures diligently, because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Tell about me. Jesus says the Bible tells about me. And if you study the scriptures and you grasp what the scriptures are saying, it is going to tell about Jesus. Now just go back, somebody that didn't know anything and read through the whole Bible and came through the end of it in Romans chapter 3, 21, 23, 24, I came to know Christ. The Bible told about Christ. That's what it does. It's a revelation from God. That's the purpose of the Scriptures, is to communicate Christ. Communicate Christ. Now, it's all about Jesus revealed in the Scriptures, not men. Not men. It's all about Jesus. I love this when Jesus, again, is, you know, he is instructing religious leaders. By the way, it should really put the fear of God in anybody who would claim to be any kind of religious teacher or religious leader. Because Jesus was unmerciful with the religious teachers and religious, all right? Now, just the run-of-the-mill sinners that came to him, oh, he loved that. I mean, they had transformation, he loved them. The teachers he had an issue with. So here we have another situation where he is confronting the teachers of the time. And he says in Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered them, "You are wrong." Gosh, shouldn't that be terrible? He's talking to Jesus. He goes, "You're wrong." Okay. "You are wrong because you know neither the Scriptures or the power of God." Well, that about covers it. See, and look here, what he tells them, the first thing he tells them, he's telling us, okay? And this is where we need to be aware, okay? He's telling us, you need to know the Scriptures. You need to know the Scriptures. The Scriptures are the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you read the Bible, you will receive the gospel directly from Jesus. Now, I'm not saying somebody else can't tell you or point you that way, but the fundamental foundation, the reason you receive that, is because it is in the Scriptures, all right? So you need to know the Scriptures, because in the Scriptures is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Number two, now, there's a problem with a lot of the religious. There's a problem with a lot of the Bible-type scholars, because they'll stop with that. Know the Scriptures. Know the Scriptures. That's what the Pharisees did. Okay, they stopped with just knowing the Scriptures and what they understood the Scriptures to say. Because there's another piece with knowing the Scriptures. Because it says you don't know the Scriptures or the power of God. See, since the revelation of Jesus is not from men, but from God, the revelation of Jesus Christ brings the Holy Spirit with power. We read the Scriptures, we don't just get smarter. We read the Scriptures and we get transformed, because with the knowledge, with the understanding, God brings the Holy Spirit with power. With power. Power changes. Knowledge doesn't. In fact, God is very clear. He says, knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. Power changes. So you study, you know the Scriptures, and then you are empowered through the Holy Spirit. Here's the truth. Revelation of Jesus Christ brings change. Revelation of Jesus Christ brings change. Being smart doesn't bring change. But a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ brings change, power. And I love what Paul says in Galatians 1:13. He goes this, talking by himself. He says, "For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it." Something changed Paul. It wasn't even learn more of the Scriptures. Okay, because most of the Pharisees, you know, they prided themselves in memorizing the Scriptures. Many, like Paul, would have at least 3/4 of the Old Testament memorized. He knew the Scriptures. He didn't need to be smarter. He didn't need more information. He needed an experience with the risen Lord. And so he was, with his knowledge, he's persecuting the church. And he has an experience with Christ. And it changed Paul to another person. He didn't get smarter when he was laying on the ground looking up at the risen Christ. He experienced Christ. He met with Christ. It was a reality. It wasn't a letter on the page. It was a reality. And so you have this. We don't just think different. We're transformed. We're transformed by the very presence of God and by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So what we have is we have the whole message. The whole message. There's the information, and based on that information, we know the truth of God. But the experience and the experience when we accept Christ transforms us. Transforms us. Now, that's the reason that we have verses like this. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and others. And it says there, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is smarter. No. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Something happened. He is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The whole world has just changed. And it doesn't make any difference if you're a child, teenager, adolescent, adult, old. Doesn't make any difference. You're changed. You're changed. You're a new creation. New has come. New has come. 1 Peter 1:23 says this. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. The living word of God. Living and abiding word of God. Now, so this is not from man. And again, here's something. It's not being sincere. You know, you hear that all the time. They are so sincere. You know, it's not sincere. And it's not zealous. Oh, they're so zealous. It's not being zealous. It's being born again. It's being born again. It is being new creations. It's new creations. See, it's a change has happened. Something has happened. See, Paul was always zealous. He was always zealous. See, but it was the relationship with Christ that changed him. You see? Not the zeal. It was the relationship with Christ. And in fact, Paul grieved over those who were zealous and didn't have a relationship with Christ. I mean, it just broke his heart to see the people that were zealous for God with no relationship with Christ. He says in Romans 10, chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. He's talking about the unbelieving Jews. Oh, my heart's desire. They may be saved. And he says this, for I bear them witness. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They don't have the, no, they're off track. They have a zeal, but there's no knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God, they seek to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. No. The zeal, they were completely off base on their zeal. They didn't have knowledge. Therefore, they made up their own rules and followed their own rules and were very zealous about them and never submitted to the relationship with God and what God was telling them. It's what they made up. But it looked good. It can look good before men. It can look good before men. Zeal must be based on the relationship, not effort. Now that's a good one. All right? Zeal must be based on relationship, not effort. Oh, you're full of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're just, you know, just bubbling over. He's just coming out because of the relationship. It's just like, I'm zealous. Linda, I love you dearly. Why? Because God told me to. Or even worse, Linda, I love you dearly because Adam told me to. That's even worse. But no, Linda, I love you dearly because it bubbles up from within my inner being. See? And that's why the love of Christ is, because it bubbles up from our inner being. And then we want to tell about it. And then we can't get talked out of it. You see? So, this is where we need to understand that what God has called us into his kingdom, and he is working with all his people. Kingdom people have a purpose. And if you accept that Jesus Christ is your Savior, you have a purpose. And there'll be a zeal from within because of what we know he did for us. It just bubbles over. In Galatians 1:16, it says this, And this is all in context here about Paul, but it applies to us. It says, God was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I revealed his son. And there's a zealousness. I want to tell everybody. I'm going to tell all the Gentiles. See? And that's what it is with every believer. Every believer. He reveals his son to us in order that we may share him with all those who don't know. But we know he's moving. It's him moving, but we're cooperating with him moving to share the truth of Christ. Because it's only the truth of Christ and the experience with Christ that changes. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, the body of Christ, believers, when you come to accept Christ, it changes you. And if it doesn't change you, maybe you're going to heaven, but then nobody knows but God. All right? But the Bible talks about people being changed from within. Their behavior changed because their focus was on Christ alone, because the Holy Spirit dwelled in them, and they are motivated, and they are changed. That's the Christian life. If there's no change in the Christian life, that is not the Christian life. That is not the kingdom. There has to be change. Has to be. It's totally inconsistent with the presence of God for there not be change. I always like to think about it. You have God that created the universe. Okay, he created. There's nothing. There's nothing. And he just speaks. Boom. And there's everything. The whole universe. That's a lot of power, isn't it? I mean, isn't that kind of moving? I mean, you're just stunned by that. That's just, the whole universe. And then we accept Christ and God comes and lives within us and can't do nothing. You know, we can't even break a bad habit. You know, we got God in us. I can't do that. No, he's asking to. No, God who created the universe lives within you. Change happens. Now, we got to get in step and focus, and it's a growth process. But the God of the universe is living within us. There is power within the Christian life. And we all should be growing. That's the way God changes the world. He changes us first. Through his presence. Revelation from Jesus brings a changed life, which produces zeal, which proclaims Christ. How'd you do that? I don't know. I know you, and you can't do that. I know. How'd you do? You know, I just, Lord Jesus, I study hard and do what, but you know, God, I just ask God for strength. To go forward. I ask God to give me strength and show me what to do. I ask God to move before me. I'm looking for what God's doing so I can join him and work and be obedient to what God's saying. That's a supernatural kingdom life. And that's what God intended. So, and then people start saying things about you. They'll notice. People notice. Like this is what they said about Paul in Galatians 1:23. He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. Man, that's different. Paul, do you notice him? He's preaching what he once tried to destroy. There's a change. See? And two, this zeal's not from me. It's not from man. Therefore, God uses everyone. If God who created the universe indwells me, or if he enjoys somebody else, or he enjoys somebody smarter, enjoys somebody dumber, whatever. All of us can do things for Christ, empowered from God, because God indwells us. Not because of who we are, it's because of who God is. Things change because of who God is. And so that's what we start thinking. Okay, God, you got me here, but what do you want me to do? You're God, what are you telling me? And we start moving that direction. You see what I'm saying? It's that relationship part of it. In fact, I love what it says in Ephesians 3:8. Now, this is what Paul said about himself. Okay? And it really puts us in a bad spot. I just want you to know. Ephesians 3:8. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Me, the least of all the saints. Who in here thinks they were are greater than Paul? You know, shame on you if you raise your hand. You know, I mean, no, I put mine down. No, not me, all right? But he just said he was least. So it made us less than least. Is that grammatically possible? Anyway, see, but what it's saying is, like, no, it's because of the presence of God. He uses all his people. He uses his people, every single person. Anyone who has a revelation from Christ, who meets with Christ, is changed forever. Forever. Paul went from persecutor to advocate. His value system changed. Our value system will change. It will change. In verse 10, Galatians 1:10, this is Paul saying. Now, he's wrapping this up. I mean, this is all in context with his testimony here. He goes, now, Galatians 1:10, for am I now seeking the approval of man? Now, why can he say that? He's just met with Christ. He just met with Christ. See, it's like, well, who you want me to meet with? I just met with Christ. I mean, whoever you're having me meet with is a step down. I just want you to know, because I just met with Christ. See, am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. I mean, it doesn't make sense. There's no logic in that. It just doesn't make sense. I met with Christ. Oh, my. I mean, we hit the top. You want to speak to the president, the vice president, secretary, you know, or the clerk at the desk. Want the president. See? Because you know where to go. Well, that's what I met Christ. And if I'm serving Christ, well, how could I serve anybody else? That's what he's saying. So, that's what he's saying to us as believers. We see what Christ has done for us. We're transformed. We serve Christ. And it's through Christ indwelling with his power, we operate in the power of God. The knowledge of God, that we know that's the truth of God, but there's a power of God that empowers us to do the things of God. It's a powerful, it's not an intellectual trip. It's a powerful trip. Powerful trip. And so it all. And it ends up, of course, with my favorite verse in the whole Bible. All right? Favorite verse in the whole Bible. You could repeat it back to me, okay? Our revelation is not from men, but from Jesus. Why? Because of 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. He who had no sin became sin. He became our sin. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He became my sin, therefore I become the righteousness of God. How can that be? Because any sin that's on me, he became that sin. It's not on me anymore. All that's on me is the righteousness of God. Therefore, I'm in a wonderful position to step forward, to serve Christ, hear Christ, and do what Christ says, knowledge and power, because he came. He became all my sin. There's nothing between me and God. Anybody bring something up, I just deflect it to the cross and move forward. Bring something up, I deflect it to the cross and move forward. See, that's what he meant it to be. It's relationship. It's relationship. Hallelujah. All God's people said. Amen. So we'll see what Galatians has for us as we see that it's not from men, but from God. Not from men, from God. Afterwards, we have you come up to... We have a prophetic team. I think we have some ladies here. And I always encourage you to participate in the prophetic team. These people just have a prophetic gift, and the Lord will really minister to you through them as he speaks to them, and he can reveal certain prophetic things to them that can be very edifying as he speaks, as they're able to use their gift that God has given them. So we ask you to join them. And let's just stand now and prepare to just give God the glory. Just stand and we pray, dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your love. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that you care about us more than we could ever imagine. And that, Lord, just to understand that our kingdom life, our position, us even being here, is not of man, but of God. It is of God. Our very being. Our very position wherever we live, our very position in our job, our very position within our family, that we're the presence of God, the God that created the universe, and that he will touch others. But others have to have that same experience of that relationship with Christ. You can't talk anyone into it, but you can share Christ, demonstrate Christ's love, and see Christ transform. And when Christ transforms, they'll continue to grow and grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, dear God. In the name of Jesus, amen.